The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's Random Acts of Poetry Day, Tony. You got one about tonight's game?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Roses are red, and you'll need some whiskey to watch TB12 against Foles and Trubisky.
That's nice. You know I don't drink like that. I've never consumed whiskey.
So I understand that. Tonight might be your first shot at whiskey.
No, I'm going to go with just a, you know, usual Gatorade. And maybe some chocolate chip cookies. And at some point, I'm just going to
Love the rhyme.
Click.
Trubisky and whiskey.
Click.
It's so good. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Rays can close out the Yankees. Cody Bellinger steals a home run.
Woo.
And Tom Brady takes on Wilbon's once mighty Bears on Thursday Night Football. But we begin today with the Tennessee Titans, who are now up to 23 positive tests for coronavirus among their players and staff. Their game scheduled for Sunday against the Buffalo Bills is clearly in jeopardy. Their game last week against Pittsburgh was postponed. A memo circulated among NFL owners earlier this week points out the possibility of loss of draft picks or forfeiture of a game if the league finds protocols were violated, as is suspected with the Titans. Wilbon, should the NFL force the Titans to forfeit?
Maybe, Tony. They at least have to more than threaten it. They have to mean it. And the Titans have to know that, even though it may be too late, because if the Titans already violated protocol to the point that we are told, some of the reporting indicates, where they were told to not assemble and hold a full practice and or train whatever they do during the week, and they did that days ago, then you know what? Then they deserve, with this result, the possibility of forfeiture. I don't think you're going to disagree with me on that. The Titans can't hold the league hostage. And so I would say that about any team, not just Tennessee. If they violate this very written, very specific protocol, and they do things that lead to cancellation of games, then they should not just cancel those games, but forfeit those games.
Yeah, so I'm going to disagree with you over this.
Are you?
I am dead set against forfeiture right now. That's for something later down the road. If you want to find the Titans now,
I'll get to it.
Because I think it's a last resort. I think you've gone through 4 weeks, and you got 12 more weeks to go, and I don't think you do it now. You can pull a draft pick if you want. You can fine them heavily if you want. But you don't put a forfeit in October, 3 or 4 weeks into the season. If you're the National Football League, you paid attention to baseball, where they didn't forfeit Marlins games, they didn't forfeit Cardinals games. And you have a working way, you have padding, Mike. There's padding in the schedule. Now, you may be right down the road, you know, week 11, week 12, or something like that, but I don't think you forfeit now.
First of all, baseball could play doubleheaders, even those stupid little seven-inning doubleheaders, and football
can't
do that. But Tony, you have to put real incentive out there not to do this. And if you forfeit now, what signal is it going to send to the other 31 teams? It's going to say to them, these guys aren't messing around. Forget the we've seen, Tony, they fine people $1 million or at least $500,000. Teams have had draft picks taken away in this or that violation. It doesn't matter. What matters in professional sports, particularly the NFL, is if you forfeit a game. You know what's going to happen to the other teams? They're going to look at each other and say, we are going to pay attention to the rules
of
protocol now.
I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to tell you something else, that players will miss a game check, and the quickest way to get them into a mask is to take away a game check. What I'm saying is that is... It's too early for me now. This is a game that a lot of people want to see. Kick the can down the road. These are two unbeaten teams. You don't start forfeiting this early to me. You don't. That's all.
Man, you have gone soft. What has happened to the raging Anthony Kornheiser I've known for 40 years? I don't know you anymore. Let's move to baseball, where last night the Dodgers were rolling behind Clayton Kershaw in the sixth. when Manny Machado hit the first of back-to-back home runs for the Padres and just flung his bat in celebration. In the seventh, reliever Bruce Dar Gratterall appeared to serve up a go-ahead home run to Fernando Tatis Jr., but Cody Bellinger yanked it back, sending Gratterall and other Dodgers into taunts of their own, of delight. The Dodgers barely hung on in the ninth to win and go up 2-0 in the series. Tone, your thoughts on the Dodgers and how they won it.
If the Dodgers win this series, and I believe they will win this series, the moment is Cody Bellinger reaching over the wall, bringing the ball back. He would say after the game, he knew it was over the wall, and he had it timed. And it wasn't just hit by anyone. It was hit by Fernando Tatis Jr., who was already a great star and of whom people say he will be an MVP. But this guy already is an MVP, Bellinger. And he took it back. And so what happened was you had a chance for Tatis to become a great hero. And Bellinger denied that and became a great hero of his own. That's the moment. The second moment to me is Joe Kelly getting into the game in the ninth, one on, walking two guys, all right, in a one-run game, and then getting Eric Hosmer, who has already hit a home run in that game, to ground out. Two very big moments for the Dodgers.
That's not as big as the just such the arrogant moments of a bat hurl, okay? And then Gratterall takes the glove, I'm not sure if a ball was in it, and throws it, and then the two sides are just beefing at each other. And Manny Machado, who I must have, I mean, look, he's a great player. And he's just a guy I'm so sick of. And, you know, I just want to see a long series. I want to see more of this drama, Tony. These are two teams that could go into the next couple of years hating each other. They're 100 miles apart, and they seem to not be able to stand each other. It's a wonderful moment, the back and forth, the bat flip and the glove toss. And you're right. I mean, the catch to yank that ball back over the center field. Well, look, let's face it, Tony. That's Ken Griffey Jr. That's Willie Mays. That's Edmonds.
That's right.
That's a handful of people ever in the history of baseball who make that play in October and perhaps save a game.
So Gratterall didn't have the ball in his glove because it was in Bellinger's glove. And you're right about Machado. Machado says, look at me, I'm Manny Machado. I just hit it out. Yeah. I'll throw the bat anywhere I want.
Yeah.
But you can't throw your glove. And you can't throw
celebrate.
Your hat. And at the end of that, that's what Mookie Betts and what Max Muncy were saying between the curses. Like, you get back to the dugout and shut up. If you celebrate, we can too.
Great.
We will stay with baseball.
October baseball.
And move to the
baby.
Rays and the Yankees. Giancarlo Stanton continued to hit home runs, but the Rays hit three of their own last night and took a 2-1 lead in that series. Randy Arozarena, and I hope I pronounced that correctly, now has 8 hits and 3 home runs against the Yankees in 3 games. With Davey Garcia and J.A. Happ unavailable because of their adventures in Game 2, Aaron Boone says Jordan Montgomery will start tonight. His record this season was 2-3 with a 5.11 ERA. Wilbon, should the headline be about the Yankees' failures or the Rays' successes?
I'm of an age where I grew up where the Yankees were October baseball, right? They were October baseball. And I know Aaron Boone a little bit and like him tremendously. So I kind of want to see the Yankees continue in October baseball. But you promised me 2 days ago, 48 hours ago, you sat in that same attic and essentially said the Yankees can't be beat. Why?
I didn't say that.
Aren't they down 2-1?
I didn't say that.
You did. Oh, we will go back and get some tape.
What I said was that lineup is very hard to negotiate, and it seems very hard to beat them, and I'll put in the butt right now. And I'm going to say exactly what I said then. The Tampa team, during the regular season, won 8 out of 10 from the Yankees.
Yes.
They've now won 2 out of 3 in the playoffs. And head-to-head is important because Tampa won 40 games and the Yankees won 33 during the regular season. So the difference was that head-to-head. Just because Tampa players don't do Jersey Mike commercials doesn't mean that they aren't really good players. They've got 12 home runs through 5 games. The Yankees have 14. That's close. And Giancarlo Stanton has 6 of them. So, I mean, to me, that's a wash. That's a really good team, Tampa. But the Yankees, yes, Mike, they could get 10 runs any night, including tonight.
They could get 10 runs tonight. It doesn't mean they're going to win this series, Tony. And it's
that's right.
still
doesn't.
And why you and I did agree on this part. We think it's still particularly late in the series. This is just 3 out of 5, so late comes early, as Yogi Berra would say. It's going to come down to pitching. You know it is. And it could still be a home run fest early in a game. It's going to come down to pitching. And that's going to be the issue, not Giancarlo Stanton. I don't think his home runs alone are going to win this series. But, Tony, Tampa, they ain't scared. They're not scared of the Yankees. And a lot of teams over time have been.
This is why earlier in the week I said to you that Tampa should be the favorite. And if it does come down to pitching, how do you like this? And that's because they can't start Cole on 2 days rest, and he's their best pitcher.
Cole's game Montgomery, five, right?
Montgomery started one game against Tampa this year. How do you like two-thirds of an inning, five hits, four earned, and two homers? You confident about that? Because I wouldn't be.
They could be in a little trouble.
Let's take a break. Coming up, just how angry will Wilbon get while watching his Bears against Tom Brady tonight?
And does Miami have a real shot at beating top-ranked Clemson Saturday? Toss-up next.
Tampa's
I'm not
going
to get angry.
They're really good.
I don't have expectations tonight. I have no expectations
really?
About the Bears. No.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time for toss-up, where I play the role of Georgia Tech and Wilbon plays the role of Cumberland College.
What happened between them?
Toss-up, who you got tonight, the 3-1 Bucks or the 3-1 Bears?
Okay, so there's an interesting factoid here. When the quarterbacks played on different teams, they played against each other in Super Bowl 52. Nick Foles at Philadelphia beat Tom Brady at New England. I'm going to take Tampa Bay tonight.
Of course you
are. I don't think the Bears are a real good 3-1 team at the moment. I mean, they're at home, but there are no fans there. They don't score much, Mike. They only got 11 last week.
All.
In Tom Brady's last three games, here are the statistics. He's got 9 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. It's actually 11 touchdowns because I think both were returned as pick sixes. But those are pretty good numbers. And in throwing the ball down the field, as Bruce Arians likes to do, passes of 20 yards or more, Brady is number one in completions and number one in yards. And the offensive line's been pretty good. They're number 4 in terms of protecting against sacks. I mean, it lines up for Tampa Bay to me. How about you?
Tampa Bay is one of the 3 or 4 best teams in the NFC, and the Chicago Bears are not. They struggle with their offensive line has struggled. Obviously, the passing game has struggled. They struggled to score points. They had 11 points last week in a home game. The Bears are, if they were in baseball, they'd be called the Hitless Wonders instead of the Cubs. So I don't see them having much of a chance in this game, Tony. They have played Tom Brady well. Tom Brady led New England into that stadium and won when the Bears couldn't score in a Hail Mary when Trubisky was playing great in the midst of a 12-4 season.
Yeah.
Brady comes back now with a team that is just better. A defense that is really good, and the Bears struggled against a good Indianapolis defense last week.
No one believes
you.
Now Tom Brady's everybody knows what you're doing.
Good.
Everybody knows you're selling down expectations. Everybody
you just said
knows
the same
it's a
junk.
Phony,
you just
baloney
said the
position.
Same junk.
Next.
The same
Toss
junk.
Up.
You just
Who are
next.
You rooting for on Saturday? Number 7, Miami, or number 1, Clemson?
I love Miami. I love their colors. I love the way they play football. I love their arrogance and their ego over many, many years. I go back to Howard Schnellenberger, even before Jimmy Johnson. I covered Michael Irvin. Greatest quote I ever heard. People won't even know what I'm talking about, where he went, "That's us. Number one UPI, number one FBI." The greatest quote I ever heard. But I'm rooting for Clemson, Mike, because they're a great team and because I think that excellence should be rewarded and appreciated. Trevor Lawrence has started 33 games in college. He's 32-1. He got beat last year by LSU, one of the greatest teams of all time, and the kid went number one overall in the draft. So I think De'Eriq King, who I like a lot at Miami, he ought to be honored to be on the same field with Clemson. That's what I think.
Yeah, it gives new meaning to the words, and one. One loss.
Yeah.
One loss in 33 games. Are you kidding? Look, I'm not rooting. I'm not going to phony it up like you just did. I'm not rooting. I can't wait to see the game. Etienne, by the way, maybe you didn't mention him just now in that list of names. He may be the most exciting player on the field. Clemson's running back who can catch the ball, whose skills seem to qualify him immensely for the NFL when he gets there. But, Tony, this is sort of this is a cool thing. You've got, you know, this new super program in Clemson, so the last 5-6 years. You've got Miami, which had a storied program for parts of two decades. And this is the first big must-pay-attention-to college football game of the year as far as I'm concerned.
That's it. Way to play, Tony. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Bryson DeChambeau is back on the course. We'll tell you how he did.
And just how worried should the Ravens be about Lamar Jackson's knee? Be worried
about
both of
them wrong with his knee?
Churning and running. I didn't know
what's
Lamar
wrong
Jackson
with his
had
knee?
A knee issue.
Don't run him. Stop running him the way you run him.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 27th birthday, Bubba Wallace. Wallace is the first black NASCAR driver since Wendell Scott nearly 50 years ago to have a full-time ride. Most recently, he had driven for Richard Petty, and it was Petty who hugged Wallace and stood shoulder to shoulder with him after a noose was discovered in Wallace's garage at Talladega. An investigation found that noose wasn't deliberately placed there to taunt Wallace, but nerves were justifiably frayed by the incident. All the drivers stood with Wallace, and many of us felt that, combined with NASCAR banning the Confederate flag from their tracks, that was a watershed moment. Recently, Bubba said he was joining a new team, bankrolled by Michael Jordan, himself a NASCAR fan since his youth in North Carolina. Bubba, whose given name is William Darrell Wallace Jr., started racing go-karts in Concord, North Carolina at 9. His parents were big fans of Dale Earnhardt Sr., who Bubba has said was his favorite driver too.
One of the most important developments, Tony, from a social and cultural standpoint, is Michael Jordan now owning a car that is going to be racing in NASCAR and driven by Bubba Wallace. Enormous significance. Everything doesn't have to happen in basketball and football, and I'm glad Bubba Wallace is on that car. And nobody's saying anymore, oh, Michael Jordan doesn't get engaged. He's not involved enough. What? Okay, because there's some big developments lately, and Michael Jordan is involved in much of them.
Happy anniversary, Don Larsen. On this day 64 years ago, with the Dodgers and Yankees tied at 2 games each, Larson pitched the only perfect game in World Series history. Immediately after strike three to Dale Mitchell in the top of the ninth inning, Yogi Berra sprinted to the mound and jumped into Larson's arms, one of the most famous moments in baseball. Larson needed just 97 pitches. Only Pee Wee Reese went to a three-ball count, and that was in the first inning. Larson was no star. His career record was 81-91. His ERA was 3.78. He never approached this moment again. It would have been much more likely that Whitey Ford or Don Newcomb threw this kind of gem. But it was Larson, of whom Shirley Povich wrote in the Washington Post, the imperfect man through a perfect game. On a personal note, I have a photograph of Larson throwing that last pitch with a scoreboard in the background. It was signed by Larson. The ink is faded now, but burned into my memory.
As a child who grew up loving Mays and the Giants, did you hate the Dodgers or did you hate the Yankees more? And do you remember that game specifically? You're only about 7 or 8.
Don't really remember that game. Hated the Dodgers because I was a National League guy. Was indifferent towards the Yankees, but that's a great moment. Happy trails to any rust on Bryson DeChambeau's game. The mad doctor of distance shot 9 under in his first competitive round since winning the U.S. Open at Wingfoot last month by playing bomb and gouge golf. DeChambeau shot 30 in his first 9 with 6 birdies, and his 62 came at the TPC Summerlin course in Las Vegas in the first round of the Shriners Hospital for Children Open. As you can see, sometimes the standard driving range isn't big enough for a big hitter like DeChambeau, who moved all the way to the back end of the range to hit his driver. DeChambeau looks more like a linebacker than a golfer these days. He has said he's aiming for distance when he goes to Augusta for the upcoming Masters in November. At his size now, if he has any eligibility left, maybe he can play football for Georgia.
Tony, being out here in the West, in Arizona specifically for a few days, I've had a chance to talk to people in the golf industry, including a couple of people who've played some tournaments in their lives. And you know what they all say? I mean all. They all say this is not sustainable. Now, you can say, well, nobody's done it, and so they're not giving him enough credit yet, or you might find some jealousy there. I don't see that as an issue. But it's just interesting what people think about DeChambeau. I know you think it's sustainable. Interesting that they do not.
I'm not sure it's sustainable because I compared him to Zion Williamson before, who I don't think is necessarily sustainable. I will say that he had 6 eagle putts today. 6. He didn't make any of them, but that meant he had 6 tap-in birdies. When was the last time you had 6 tap-in birdies, huh? Huh?
In about 2 or 3 weekends combined.
Yeah. No errors today. Let's go to the big finish if we could.
Let's do it.
Anthony Lynn said today that Justin Herbert will be the Chargers' starting quarterback going forward. Do you think that's the right call?
I do think that's the right call, Tony. I know it's a small sample size, but from what we've seen so far, he seems to have earned it. Lamar Jackson missed a second straight day of practice. Cause for concern?
Yeah, I mean, this is the MVP in the league, and I think he runs too much. He was a wonderful passer in college. He won the Heisman Trophy, I'm pretty sure. Don't run him out of the league. The Blackhawks will not be re-signing Corey Crawford next season. Are you disappointed?
I mean, a little, Tony, but look, he was the goaltender for 2 of those 3 Stanley Cup teams in 13 and 15. He wasn't there for the 1 and 10, but he's been fantastic. So cheers. Cheers to Corey Crawford. Thank you. American Sophia Kennan made it to the women's final of the French Open. Is that a big deal?
Of course it's a big deal. Finals of an Open. She apparently won the Aussie earlier this year. I'm not as familiar with her as I should be, but good luck. Last one, college football tonight, Tulane at Houston. Who you got?
I got a clicker, okay? I got the Chicago Bears and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that's it. It's not a T2 TV night. It's a 1 TV night.
I got both Tampa games. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow on Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. And I take it back. Baseball's on, too. I'm back to 2
yeah.
TV.
Yeah.